But with all of that said, we dive into our message. How many enjoyed last week with Pastor Jesh learning about the good news going across the globe? He loved his time here with us. He said, it felt like home, it felt like family. And I said, hey, come and move and be with us. But he said, no, not yet. But in those moments, it was a great time as we learned about those who have not yet heard the gospel, that there's many parts in our world that have yet to be reached with the good news, and that we're called to go, we're called to pray, we're called to give. And so as we leaned in with that truth, we also lean into the truth of our series that we just started a week before, which was called by name, that no matter your journey, no matter your walk, God sees you and God calls you, and he has a purpose for your life, no matter what someone else has said. And so we talked off in our first week about Mary Magdalene as she was at the tomb, and she didn't recognize Jesus, she didn't know what was going on, she even called him the gardener until Jesus said, Mary. And in that one word, in that one tone, in that one called by name moment, everything changed for her life. And so we journey on a little bit further into our called by name series. But before we do that, I want to ask you a question. How many have ever had someone, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a coach, maybe it's a friend or a colleague, say, you know what? You know, Scott, I have something for you to do. You're going to stand up here and you're going to preach. You're going to step out and read in front of the class. You're going to step out on this new project. And the first response, even though they've called you by name, is you sit there and say, who, me? Not me. Have you ever been gripped when God or someone else has asked you to do something that seemed out of your comfort zone? Most of us like to be in our comfort zone. When someone calls us and said, hey, can you do this? I believe in you. And most of us, our first response is, who, me? Not me. Because we start to run and we start to think about those questions of, and the running thoughts through our mind of, I don't know if I can do it. What if I fail? What if I'm not enough? Then we usually move to the question or the thought, please, God, send anyone else. Have you ever encountered one of those feelings or thoughts? Have you ever rampaged and sort of run through those feelings of insecurity as they've been there, not only in the daytime, but sometimes at night? Today, we want to realize the truth that there is actually a cure for that. That as we learn about our identity and that he calls us by name, that we can walk secure in who we are and whose we are. Instead of having the rampant thoughts of I'm not enough, what if, and fear, leading us to say I can't go, instead we would say, here am I, God, send me. So this morning, if we're on a journey together, the title of our message is this, who, me? Yes, you. So even before we begin, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, who, me? Yes, me. Look at your other neighbor and say, who, you? Yes, you. Because we want to have that truth on our hearts and on our minds the rest of today as we dive into the text. And for this account, we're going to look at someone else who faced these same kind of feelings. Those who was a man of God, who was a leader of leaders, who led a nation, but while he did it, even when God called him, he said, who, me? And God said, yes, you. And I want us to look at this truth as we see in Exodus 3, starting in verse 4 and jumping around into Exodus 4 as well. We want to look at the truth of when God called Moses and he said, Moses, Moses. And what was Moses' response? So in reading from the New Living Translation, this is what it said. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied, giving you a little bit of context. We have Moses, who was a leader in the Egyptian thing, but he was a Hebrew boy when other things were going all a mess. His mom had saved his life, but then he was trained and raised in Pharaoh's courts and in Pharaoh's house. But while he was there, he had ended up standing up for the Jewish people, for a Hebrew man, and he ended up committing murder. And so in this, he runs to the hills, he runs away, and for 40 years we find him out away from it all. He's now sitting there caring for his father-in-law's business, doing all this, and we see him heading to the mount. And as he gets to the mount, he sees a bush that is burning but not being consumed. Even that in itself, we would say, okay, that can happen out where they would be. But in not being consumed, there was a wonder that came upon him. And then from this burning bush, we hear these moments as Moses leans in closer. He hears, Moses, Moses. I don't know about you, but that might scare me. Could you imagine seeing something on the street today in our modern context? And you're like, that seems weird. And you lean in. And something that's not supposed to talk begins to, from there, saying your name. So he's a little bit fearful, realizing what's going on. He's having these times where he hears it and he says, here am I. Verse 10, jumping to verse 10, as there's this conversation going about being on holy ground, but it goes, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. God's giving him a call. Even though he's been on airplane mode, hiding out for 40 years, running away from what God had set him apart to do, God finds him in this moment, calls him by name, Moses, Moses. He reminds him that he's on holy ground. Come and hear what I'm about to tell you. And then he goes and says, I'm telling you to go. I'm telling you to go back to Pharaoh and to set our people free. But what did Moses do? Was he like, yes, I've got this? No, it says Moses protested. He protested to God. Who am I? Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people out of Israel, the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. But Moses, he didn't take that for an answer. He protested again. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. So there's this dialogue going on, and as we see, God is calling him by name. He's encountering him, countering why he's a far way off, giving him a purpose statement, giving him a purpose call. But Moses' response is not, here am I, send me. Instead, he's saying, who, me? I can't do it. I'm not enough, as we're going to see. I'm not called. I don't think I can do this. Fear starts to grip his heart. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? I don't think I have the capacity or the ability to do what you're asking me to do. You ever been there? Ever felt those same kind of thoughts where the what ifs start to run rampant? Let's see what happens as we go to Exodus 4, verse 1. We see this truth. But Moses protested again, what if they won't believe or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? But Moses pleaded with the Lord. Verse 10, O Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Verse 11, then the Lord asked Moses, what makes a person's mouth? Or who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. So Moses has been called by name. He's been found. He's been directed to go. He's even been reminded and reassured that God would be with him. But throughout this journey, he has seen signs. He's seen the staff and the serpent. He's seen all that. He's seen a leper's hand become healed. He's seen all these signs and wonders, evidence that it is God speaking to him, God calling to him. But what has hindered and what has stopped Moses from actually going in the moment? Insecurity. Who am I? What if I fail? What if I'm not enough? God, do you not see all my shortcomings? I'm not of eloquent speech. I don't think I'm sharp enough or bright enough or a good enough communicator to actually share of the good news. I don't know if I can go. Would you please just send anyone else? Ever felt that way? Maybe you've been feeling that way this year. As we've said, our theme and our call for this year is to share the good news. I was chatting with someone just a few weeks ago, and they're like, Pastor, I don't know if I can do it. I don't have the words. I stumble over my words. I don't know if I can. Can you just tell someone else to go? So what do we do when insecurity strikes, and what does that look like? So our first truth this morning is diagnosing the problem. Why do we often say, who am I that I should go? Who am I that God would use me and God would call me? So we want to unpack that truth of when insecurity strikes. In this moment, we see his very first response is, who am I that I should go? It paralyzes them right there in that moment. What would have happened if Moses would have said, I just can't do it. I won't do it. What would if he have missed for the journey? And what others may have missed because he let insecurity grip his heart, pause his journey, and stop the call that God had planned for his life. In our lives, we've all encountered it, but when we're talking about insecurity, really, it is a battle for our identity. In these moments, what happens when the devil comes in, when the enemy of your soul begins to get into your heart and get into your mind saying that you're not enough, he confuses who you truly are and whose you are. Instead of seeing who God has called you to be, who God has made you to be, instead we start seeing our weaknesses. Because insecurity will always cause us to see what is missing about oneself. When you look in the mirror, do you always see the good things? Or do you see that you have no hair anymore? Even when you grow out a beard, do you see that there's color, or do you realize there's a lot of wisdom showing up? In those moments, there's all those things that if we're honest with ourselves, insecurity affects all of us to differing degrees and different amounts. When someone calls us, asks us, if I were to ask you to come up and pray, most would be like, who, me? I'd be like, yeah, you. And you're like, no. Send someone else, Pastor. Why? Have we prayed? Yeah. Can we pray? Yeah. Even if it's God, help. It's a good prayer. What happens? I'm not enough. I don't know who I am. I start to see all my flaws and all my weaknesses and all the areas where I don't want anybody else to know that I struggle or I have this battle. And it leads us to avoid what God has been asking us to do. It leads us to avoid the truth that God can use your journey. God can use your life, no matter your past, no matter what others have said about you, no matter if there was dysfunction throughout your family line. Guess what? God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and he's calling you, and he's saying, don't excuse what he's saying because of your past or because of your weaknesses or because of the areas that you don't want someone else to see. Instead, realize who you are. Who you are in Christ and who he is. And so in those moments, insecurity will cause us to ask this question, how could God ever use me? Ever thought that? How could God ever use me? Pastor, you don't know my journey. How could he ever use this? How could he ever use my brokenness? How could he ever turn what was broken into something that shines with beauty even through the cracks? Again, it's us pointing back and turning our focus away from him and onto ourselves. We're looking at how we can solve the problem and what we can do. Again, let's look at verse 10 to 11 from chapter 3. It says, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protests to God, and he says this, who am I? Later on, he goes again, who am I? Where was Moses' eyes? On what he could do. On his strengths, his ability. In those moments, the pronoun was in the wrong spot. God was giving all the hints in those moments. In the burning bushes, it was speaking to him. It was saying to him, guess what? I am sending you. I am that I am is sending you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be your strength. But Moses was blinded by the insecurity of his life. How can I do this? How could I ever go? How could God ever use me? We see all the weaknesses, and weaknesses, when we start to look at them from an unhealthy view of who we are, causes fear to grip our heart. Have you ever stopped doing something because of fear? Have you ever stopped stepping out? Maybe there was an opportunity at your job. Maybe there's an opportunity at your school. Maybe God was laying something on your heart, and you're ready to step out, and then you're like, but what if? What if I share the gospel and they make fun of me? What if I stumble over my words? What if I go to pray and all the wrong words come out? We've all been there. I used to joke, and it was still something that bothered me and gripped my heart. You would never imagine this as a pastor. But as a young pastor, you'd be in these rooms, and I'd be doing things at district office, and you have all these smart people. You have all these people that have amazing schooling. They've done great ministries. And I remember the whole thing I would say is, please don't ask me to pray. Please don't ask me to pray, because they're not going to judge me, but in my head, they're judging my prayer. Ever been there? And you're sitting there thinking, I don't know if I got the right words. I'm just the guy who wears jeans and a Nikes most of the time. I'm just a straight shooter, and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to pull out all those words or all the fancy things and pull them all together. And in those moments, it'll always be those times I'm like, God, please, just anybody else. And it always seemed to happen. He'd be the person be looking. And I did the whole school thing. We've all been there. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. I'm not looking at you. I'm already pre-praying, so don't pick me. And so in those moments, your head's down, and it would always be like, Curtis, can you open us in prayer? I'm like, yeah, great, fantastic. In every word, you're like, I hope they didn't feel foolish. Sometimes I would actually have those prayers, and I would lean over to a close friend, and I'm like, did it suck? What was that? Insecurity. I'm not enough for God who I was. The fact in that moment, it was me talking to God and bringing others to that place with him. He already knows the motives of my heart. He's already knit me together in my mother's womb before. He knows the journey that I'm on. He knows the words that he's given me. He's already ordained my steps and called and ordered my steps. Why was I scared to be who he called me to be? Why was I scared to step out even when others were calling me into the places that I were supposed to be? Because I let insecurity cause me to think about the what ifs. To view everything that I felt was missing about me. The enemy of your soul wants us to take our eyes off of God and turn our eyes onto ourselves. Think about our culture today. It's all about me. Ever wonder why insecurity runs so rampant in our culture? Because it's all about us, but the fact is, Scripture reminds us it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. When we're struggling, it says, turn your gaze upon what is true and what is holy, what is good. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And so in those moments, we have the answer. Because when insecurity speaks, it makes us say this, I'm not enough, deals with our identity. What if I fail? Fear grabs our heart. I'm not capable. It deals with thinking we don't have the ability to do what God's asked us. And then we avoid the call on our lives or the responsibility that God's placed on our lives by saying, send someone else. We have to get to the place where we don't let feelings of inadequacy keep us from actually living out what God has asked us to do. There's going to be areas where you feel weak in, but in that place, trust that he is strong. And so we see this insecurity that it can grip our heart, it can hold us back, but I believe today that there's actually a cure for insecurity. I believe that there's a way that we can overcome insecurity, and it's found in the Word of God, and that's our second point today. If you've been battling with those thoughts, if you've been battling with those feelings, if that's gripped your heart, and like I was saying, when it comes to pray, when it comes to speak, when it comes to step out, you're scared, and you keep viewing all the things about you that aren't enough, I believe if we would get our identity right in who he is and who we are in him, we would get to the truth where we can overcome insecurity. But understand this morning, The cure for insecurity, when God even shows us and how he deals with Moses, isn't in the way that the world would often do it. Because God's answer to Moses was not telling Moses how strong he was, how capable he was, or how filled with potential he was. Think, it wasn't about like, Moses, you got this. You're awesome. Like, you're the man. You know, you can do this. Like, you were built for this. You were strong in this. And yes, understand, there's encouragement that comes. But it wasn't about self-affirming statements. It wasn't about even doing this. Will we see God actually do? But rather, he turns Moses' eyes off of himself and puts it onto him. Let's look at verse 12 and 14. God answered to Moses' protest, I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. It is not about being used by God in the small things and the large things. It is not about your capacity, your power, or your ability. It's based on his. He's called you, he will equip you, he will send you, and he will walk with you. We have to be available and willing. Yes, we have to do our part, but when we start to think it's all about us, insecurity can have a root in our lives, and what happens is that we would boast in ourselves. We either become self-conscious or we become overconfident. But our confidence was never to be found in us. Our confidence was to be found in Jesus Christ. Because who I am is in him. We see even in Scripture, it says, less of me and more of him. Yes, we need to encourage. Yes, we need to speak truth. Yes, we need to build up and edify. We see that. But ultimately, it's not about how great you are or how great I am. It's literally about how great he is. Because there's going to be moments where you won't feel like enough, but God is always enough. He is always your strength. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, your healer. He is El Gabor, the warrior God, the strong and mighty. That is who he is. So in those seasons, instead of saying, I can't do it, send someone else, he's already like, I've already come so that you can live free and full in it. He's reminding us of this truth. One pastor, his name is J.D. Greer, he said this, and I love how he put it. He said, confidence doesn't come from a clear self-assessment. Confidence comes from a clear view of God. So when Moses says, but God, I'm not good enough or skilled enough or confident enough, God says, I know, I am. I didn't choose you because you were any of those things. I have enough of all of those things for the both of us. You are not, oh, but I am God enough. Just in that statement, there's so many things that I think we wrestle with. You know, God, like, I'm not good enough. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not confident enough. I can't do it. God's saying, I know. Just like he said to Moses, I know. Do you not think that I already knew and I already ordained your story, ordained your journey? I know, but I am that I am, and I am is the one who's going to go with you. I am is the one who is sending you. I am is the one who's going to fight the battle for you. I am is the one that you're partnering with, and I'm going to make a path through the wilderness. Our confidence isn't in how good we are, but in how good our God is. Everything starts to change because we may be insecure, but our God is secure. Our God is steadfast. Our God is trustworthy and true. So it comes down to the battle of who am I versus who is he. When we start to realize who he is, we get a clear version and an understanding of who he is and how he sees us. We can realize that God's character and his view of us never changes. It's secure. Did you know God's view of you doesn't change by even your weaknesses, by your flaws? His love and his care and his passion and power over your life is secure. He loves you. He walks with you. He's called you. How he views you is secure, but also his character, how he walks, who he is. It doesn't change. It's unchangeable. So when we stand on that truth, it's not like he's wishy-washy. If he's calling you, if he's named you, if he's called you, Moses, Moses, if he's called out, Mike, Mike, if he's called out, Leon, Leon, in those moments, guess what? He calls you by name. He knows your name. He's calling you by name. And if he's calling all of us by name, that means that it is secure in what he's asking you to do. He will go with you because he is sending you in the small things and in the big things if we will obediently trust him and walk with him. So it leads us to the other truth. Why can we be secure in who he is? Because he's already proved it to us. The God who said, let it be, and things continue to grow off of that statement even today. He's the one who names us. He's the one who calls us. He's the one who made us and knit us together. He's the one who loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross so that we could have freedom, that we could have hope, that we could have life, that through Jesus we have a future. Through Jesus we have eternal hope. We can trust him. He doesn't change. So that's where we turn our eyes and our focus, realizing that God is more than enough for every area where you feel that you're not enough. For some of you might need to write that down. Because in some of these moments, even in my own life, there's some areas where I sometimes battle with feeling like I'm not enough. As guys, and we had a great time with Promise Keepers, or I mean Impact Us yesterday, there was, you know, close to 100 guys here worshiping and growing in God. And guys, we won't look at each other, but how many have a sometimes hard time getting vulnerable and real? You know? In those moments, there's some areas where I still wrestle with, and I say, God, like, how would you call me and how would you use me? I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I'm enough. But that truth of realizing that God is more than enough for any area where I feel like I'm not enough. So instead of turning my eyes towards me and what my capabilities or capacity is, instead turn it towards God. Every time that those rampant thoughts and running thoughts go through your mind and through your heart, turn your eyes and fix your focus on him, because he's walking through you, through it, and he's going to walk with us through that journey. I love this other truth. We see Paul later on in 2 Corinthians say this. He says, in our weaknesses and our limitations, that's where we see God be strong. He says, my grace is all that you need in 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is all that you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. When we surrender the areas of feeling like not enough, when we surrender the areas of weakness to God, we provide him opportunities for him to display his power in and through us. In those areas where he reveals to you through his spirit that, you know what, there's still some work that needs to be done. It's not about hiding them in a room so nobody else can see, but instead saying to God, this is an area of weakness. You've revealed it, that in my weakness you would be shown strong. That God, you would work in me and through me for your glory, not my glory. That I would not boast in me. I would not boast in what I can do. I would not boast in my strength, but instead I would boast only in Jesus Christ. That's what he's calling us to do, church. That when we step out and do something great, it's not about, hey, pat me on the back a few times. Oh, don't tell me again. Tell me again. No, but that we would boast in Jesus Christ. We would say, you know what? I was a part. I journeyed with him. Oh, but I boast in him. So how do we live in this? How do we get a healthy view of who our identity is? How do we walk like he's called us to walk and not let insecurity grip our heart like it gripped Moses initially? I think we've built sort of the theology, sort of the background of it, the information, but how do we do it on a regular basis? How do we live out that truth when God asks you to do something, or even someone asks you to step out in something that you know that you're supposed to do, instead of going, who, me? They would say, yes, you, and you'd say, okay, I'm in. How do we live that out? I think there's some easy practical steps that are easy to say but hard to do. So we may not always get it perfect the first time through, but it's something about trying every day, working with his strength and the Holy Spirit in us. But there's some practical steps that we can take, even starting right now in this place. The first one's this. Realize and acknowledge that we all battle with insecurity. There might even be some in this place or online, they're like, oh, Pastor, I'm checking out today. I don't battle with that. I don't worry about doing anything. I never get fearful. I never think I'm not enough because I am enough. In those moments, we've all been around those people, that's just insecurity showing itself. Because insecurity, when it's lived out and acted out, is usually something that makes people want to push you away. Because you come across overconfident, brash, sometimes you're fearful and you don't want to do anything, and it shows. And most of us, when insecurity has gripped our hearts, we see it in everybody else except for ourselves. So we have to acknowledge first and foremost that actually we battle with insecurity at different levels. So we have to say today, you know what, God? This message was for me. If Moses battles with it, maybe I'm going to battle with it too. And I don't want to let insecurity stop me from walking into what you've called me to. Second one. Now you need to identify it in your life. You have to ask the question, where are you battling insecurity? Where are you battling self-doubt or wrong focus eyes in your life? Are there certain areas that it's not just a one-time thing, but a recurring? Because all of us will have those fleeting thoughts. We're like, well, I don't think I can do that. I don't know if I should do that. Even when it comes to small things, it's like maybe the first time going, I won't talk about snow, but the first time going snowboarding or skiing, first time you get to the top of the hill, you're like, I don't think I can do this. I'm taking the skis off and I'm walking down. But it's a recurring side of it, saying, I'll never do that. In those journeys, if there's something that's reoccurring and you know that you're battling with the what ifs, fear is gripping you, you know that God is leading, he's pulling your heart, you know that someone is challenging you in a good way, an accountability saying, let's go, you can do this. Maybe someone's calling you to share the gospel or to pray like I said. And you've been over time going, no, I won't do it. I won't pray, that's not who I am. I won't speak out loud, that's not who I am. But we realize the old is gone, the new has come in Christ. We have to submit our personalities, and our personalities are beautiful in who they are, but in those moments, we have to submit them under the cross. Sometimes he's going to call us in the areas where you feel the weakest because that you wouldn't boast in yourself. The only job, or one of the only jobs I said I would never do was be a pastor. I said, I can't do it. I won't do it. All of this list, I said, I will not do it. Dad was a pastor. Grandpa was a pastor. And I said, I just won't do it. I said, I'm going to do everything but. And I went through all the areas of like, God, you can't use me. I don't fit the mold. I'm not like that. I'm not like this. I can't be. And I remember Pastor John, Pastor Shepherd. I loved him. He was great. He saw me right from the very beginning when I was pastoring. I was 19. And I remember looking at him and he had it all pulled together. And I was just this punk 19-year-old who was, I'm like, man, I shouldn't have said that. And thinking like, how could you do that? How could I do that? In these moments and in these things, we have to realize that God can use us. So identify it. Identify it in your life, what you're struggling with, whether you're struggling with identity, ability, struggling with fear, struggling with avoidance, and the number three, introduce it to God. So take that thing that you're struggling with. I'm not enough. God can never use me. Or maybe you've got through those, but you're avoiding it. Introduce that now to God. Begin to pray about it. So now that you've identified it, you introduce it to God and say, here, meet the one who is more than enough. And every day in prayer, go and say, God, I'm still battling with this. I'm still battling with, I don't know if I measure up, but God, I know that you do. So please help take my eyes off of myself and now take my eyes onto who you are. Remind me who you are and who I am in you. You might have to write down some truthful promises about that God has said about your life and begin to lean into those things. Not a self-help, self-assessment, or reaffirming those moments, but leaning into Scripture. And what does God say about you? That when you feel like you're the tail, remember that you're the head. When you feel like you're not enough, remember that God has made you and knit you together in your mother's womb, that he has a plan for your life, that if everybody else has left you, he will not leave you nor forsake you. Write some of those things out. Pray those things in. And I promise you this, I've experienced it in my own life and experienced with 20 plus years of ministry, others' lives, that as we turn our eyes off of ourselves and onto God, when he says, Moses, Moses, we will say, yes, it's me, send me. It will give us the confidence and courage that even through the fear, even through the doubt, we will say, God, I hear your voice and I'm responding. Don't let fear, don't let insecurity hold you back from what God is calling you to. Number four, I almost skipped ahead of it. Turn your attention to God. Our security and our confidence to step out comes from him. So write down who God is. When you're not enough, maybe write down a few names of God. Write down what God has said about you and about himself. That there's none other like him. That our God is good. Our God is strong. There is no rival to him. That Jesus has already made a way. That his words on the cross, that it is finished. That his blood poured out makes a way for wholeness in our lives if we would walk into that. Begin to declare truths of Scripture over the lives of the enemy. Because the way to silence and dampen the arrows of lies is to speak truth and to know truth. So when we speak truth of what he has already said, his word of God that is without error, and we stand on it, we've turned our eyes onto what is true and what is profitable and what is good. And in those moments, that's what builds us up to walk into where he's called us. So the question I leave you with this. What has insecurity been trying to talk you out of? What is insecurity in your life today, this week, the last few months? What's it been trying to talk you out of? That as we get ready to pray in a second, Holy Spirit would remind you of that, if you're not remembering. And that we would actually say this today, God, I want to step into it. The enemy's been trying to talk me out of it. But God, today in your strength, my confidence found in you because you are good, because you are true, and you are secure, and I place my feet on you, I'm stepping in. What's the enemy trying to talk you out of? And what's God asking you to step into? Today, he wants to tell you that because he wants to free us from the grip of insecurity, and he wants to call us into something new. Into something good, into his plans, whether it be small or whether it be large. God has a plan for your life, from the youngest to the oldest in this place or online. And today, he's still calling you by name. He's calling us out of insecurity and into new life. Would you pray with me? Would you stand and pray? If you're able. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are our firm foundation, that even in our lives where we can be wrestling with insecurity and wrestling with the feelings of not being enough and not having the ability, not having the strength, and even the times where you've called us and we say, send anybody else, God, you still call us by name. Just like Moses protested and protested and protested, you didn't beat him down, but instead you say, I'm going to go with you. I'm calling you. Tell them that I am that I am, that the I am is sending. So Lord, today, if there's those in this place that have been gripped by insecurity, by fear, by the what ifs, maybe they've believed the lie that they're not enough and they found their identity in that truth. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and you begin to speak to hearts and speak to minds. You would remind us that you are more than enough for every area we feel not enough. Let us not spend so much time looking at ourselves in the areas where we feel we don't measure up, but instead turn our eyes onto you, the one who has already made a way and the one who is transforming and redeeming us to be more like Jesus every day. So Lord, let us find our confidence in you. Let us be said of us as individuals and as a church that we are going to step out, that when we hear your voice through the fear, through the doubts, we would say, yes, I'm coming. That when we would say, who, me? You would say, yes, it's you. And we'd say, okay, I'm coming. Help us not to be talked out of the things you're calling us to, but instead give us the courage, the faith, and the strength to walk into what you've asked. Be with us today as we go. Be our strength, be our provision, be our guide. Let everything we do bring glory and honor to you. And we ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen and amen.